Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. What? This is how we do it. All right. This is a Monday. And so we have an amazing guest today. We're going to talk about your teenagers. Yes, teenagers. But, you know, middle school, adolescence. We're going to talk to a phenomenal woman, Tamara Barber. She is going to talk to us a little bit about her philanthropic efforts as being a teen advocate. She is a woman in the tech space. I want to hear a little bit about that too. She is the mother of five extraordinary children, the wife of one extraordinary man. And, you know, she got pink hair brains. Okay. We're going to talk to her, see how she got them roots pink. Exactly. Absolutely gorgeous and stunning. Let's welcome her to the edge right there. That is Tamara Barber. Hi, baby.
Hi. So honored to be here with you today and share whatever comes up. We'll see where it goes.
Exactly. Wherever the spirit moves, really.
Absolutely.
There's so much going on in the world right now.
Yes,
you know, indeed. And we've always said that, but girl, it is a hot mess. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. More so than ever before.
So you are a speaker. You are an inspiration. You're an influencer, an impactor, and the mother of five. When do you have time to get your hair done?
That's why I keep it short. Once every 2 months, I'm good. I can swing that.
Wow. So tell us how you show up in the world.
I show up as an inspiration. And my vision in the world is to empower people. And I've chosen to focus on teens. Every person that I interact with, my intention is to leave them better than when I first came. And so I empower women, I empower business executives and, you know, people in the corporate space. And most importantly though, I empower young people. Like, that is absolutely my passion. As a mom of five, I totally get all of the different age groups. But what I've found over the years is that as children grow, when they're little, you see all the family members supporting their events and activities. If you go to a game, all the family members are there. But as they grow up, and unless they are the star or the celebrity on the team, not that much family support anymore. And one day I was coaching an AAU boys basketball team, and one of my star players, whose mom had never been to any of his games, said to me, "Man, I really wish like my mom would have been there." And in that moment, I realized that middle and high school students, they need some additional support. You know, parents are busy these days, and it's in this environment, it's even more challenging with parents trying to make ends meet, focusing on work and creating a legacy and financial security for their families. A lot of the students in this age groups are figuring life out on their own without tools.
Right.
And I remember being that tween, being that teenager, that college student trying to figure it out on my own without the tools. And I was a hot mess.
Well, and it is. And they're so impressionable right now. They can be scooped up and taken away. I mean, I look at these young women or young girls, sex trafficking, because they want these pretty things, because they want that role model of a father. And you know where I'm leaving with that, but I ain't gonna color in the white space. You know what I'm talking about. And folks just, you know, and I'm gonna promise you this, and I love you if that. And if you have sex with me, we'll do this. Okay, that's one thing. Then drugs. Okay, well, you know, you got kids that have got some challenges. They're self-medicating because they don't know how to explain or how to identify what's going on with them. Or they've learned these behaviors from their parents who have struggled, because hurt people hurt people. You got the bullies, you know? I say give them the 1-2. I'm a proponent for 1-2, okay? Really? You know, all of that, you know, you go to the counselor, you done went, talked to you, your parents and all that kind of stuff, and no results. You know, but you don't want people to be aggressive, but you have to teach people and how to treat you. Mm-hmm. And you have to know how you want to be treated and what love feels like. What are you pouring to these young people? Because I've seen some of your videos and they're powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you take them from soup to nuts. You really do.
Yeah, I take them on a journey of discovering who they are, looking at what behaviors, what values they've already set in their lives that they've carried from, you know, generation to generation, to look at whether or not those things are still working for them. And is it going to support them in getting from where they are to where they want to be? And without that navigation of knowing where I am and knowing where I want to be, it opens you up to distractions and fulfilling everyone else's vision except your own. And so what I do is I give them the tools to successfully navigate from where they are to where they want to be. They discover what's working. They discover what's not working. They get their confidence back. They learn how to live authentically without the mask, without living to please everyone else around them, and getting them really clear on their goal and their purpose and what legacy they want to leave in the world. Because I tell them, a legacy is not some big one-time event thing that you do and like, oh my gosh, now the world will remember me. Right. It is every interaction that you have with every human being in this moment and the next moment that creates your legacy. And so you are totally at choice on how you want to live your life and what you want to create in this world. And I bring that to their awareness so that they know, wow, I get to choose. And even no choice is a choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so they get clear on that. And I take them through this journey of discovery. And yes, by the time they finish the program, it's about a 6-month program. And by the time they finish it, they are a totally different human being, solid, you know, ready to step out into their vision. I've had teens go from shy in a turtle shell to standing on a stage giving a TED talk, from, you know, drawing amazing art to opening their own businesses. And it's just been phenomenal watching them grow and evolve and looking at the decisions and the relationships that they maintain post our training with other student leaders that are up to big things in the world.
Yeah, and you've had a lot go through your program. You know, but you have a lot of experience too. You got 5 kids, girl. You my Shiro. Yes. Okay, know, I did one and I punked out. I was like, okay, this is fine. Let me get her in every activity. Let this be the house where everybody comes and eats, but then they go home. It's a lot of responsibility. Okay, yes. It's a lot of responsibility. 5 kids. And also to how they respond and interact with one another. Because the pecking order, you know, there's going to be some children that are going to require additional attention. And then there's others that are going to be very independent. You know, so again, you being able to weave through that textile of parenting, what would you say to a parent that has multiple children that is struggling with trying to help each one of them find their place in the world?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll give you an example. When I had my first pregnancy, it was twins. So I had 2 girls and they were fraternal twins. Thank God they weren't identical. So I didn't have to deal with those issues, because that brings on a whole nother onset of things to worry about and navigate through. But I think what I learned pretty quickly was that they are their own individual. They were very different. It was like night and day. And when I had my third child, who was happened to be a boy, he was totally different and his own individual. And the last two, now, when I had the first three, they followed the script. They went to high school. They did okay. They graduated. They went to college, graduated with honors, went into their careers, and are successful and doing amazing things. My 26-year-old son just bought a house. My other daughter is living her dream of being a teacher. And my other daughter, the other twin, has operated in corporate America and is like climbing the ladder and just doing amazing. Mm. Now, the last two did not follow the playbook. They were like, well, you know,
they wrote their own script, right? They got their own movie.
So instead of me guiding them on this journey of, you know, my playbook, I had to take a back seat and allow them to create their own playbook. And that was really challenging because initially I was being super controlling and we were clashing and it wasn't working. So I had to do my own work. I had to step back and say, okay, this is not working. There's something that I'm missing here. And what I realized was that, number one, college isn't for everyone.
Right.
Number two, what I think is the right path, that's just what I think. Mm-hmm. But they are knowledgeable enough about their own vision and purpose to know what it is that they need to do to accomplish their dreams. And so I had to let go and allow them the freedom to navigate that. And so today, the one that really broke the ice, she totally broke the ice. She decided
the glass ceiling.
And she decided to go into cosmetology. It was a struggle getting her through that as well, but she finished beauty school. She was not the beauty school dropout. She finished it, and now she, at 23, has her own business, is living in her own apartment, driving her own car, and is successful. You know, she's still got a lot to learn, but she's figuring it out. And I think as parents, we get to give our kids the freedom to figure it out. Don't be afraid to let them fall on their faces. Because when they fall on their face, most likely they're going to be looking up, and there's only one way to go is up. You know, and as long as you're there to support and encourage them, they'll be okay. We have this way where we parent out of fear, right? We're so afraid that they're not going to be successful or that they're going to make the wrong choices. We get in and we start controlling, not realizing that we've deposited in them everything they need to know. It's already there. Now they get to go and figure out how to use those tools. And a lot of times as parents, we take that experience away and they become dependent instead of independent.
I know, or codependent. Now there's a lot, there's an extra layer of challenges with identity. You know, these kids now, they wanna be non-binary. I don't wanna be a male, I don't wanna be a female. Or you got transgenders, or you got homosexuality. You know, again, there are 52 different gender types, but there's only two sexual orientations, either you are male or female. You know, and parents are trying to control that too. And I came to the realization a long time ago that however my daughter opts to bump her ugly when she gets older, you know, I'm going to let her get down with the get down. But I teach her the basics. And that is love. That is monogamy. That is good hygiene. You know, that's self-respect. And loving another individual enough to break free and let them break free. But parents want the grandkids. They worried about what they're going to say at the church. Hallelujah. They worried about what grandma going to say. You know, it's too much of that. And what they do is they disassociate from the soul of the individual that they brought into the world. And I told my daughter, like my mother told me, I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. You got me. I'm going to be your cheerleader, good, bad, or indifferent. What do you say to those parents that are struggling with their children and their identity?
Yeah, give them some space because they're in a process of exploration. And it for some parents, particularly those who are super deep religiously and spiritual, you know, it goes against everything that they believe in, right? And everything that they feel like they've taught their children. But I tell you what I found in a lot of cases is that they're exploring. These are like middle and high schoolers, and they're trying to figure it out. They've got a lot of things that are influencing them in this world. And I think at the core of it, the one thing that they need to know is what you just said, is that they are loved and that they are accepted by their parents no matter what. And I've seen kids struggling through that identity and in the end figuring it out and being completely fine with who they are. You know, some decide to go transgender and some decide to follow their biological genders, you know, whatever you want to call that, you know, and it all ends up okay. And there are some who struggle all the way through, and it's not even the parents, but it's the world, it's their friends, it's those bullies that you mentioned earlier. And so the path is not an easy path, but as long as they know that when they come home, they have a place where they can just be. They can just be and know that they are loved and accepted. So many kids are committing suicide because they don't have that foundation of love and acceptance in their own homes because they can't find it out in the world. And so I would encourage parents to always operate from a space of love and acceptance with their children. Even when they don't agree with the things that they're doing, be there to set the standard. And if they don't follow it in that moment, be hopeful.
Right.
Be hopeful and know that at the end of the day, like, they're going to figure it out. They're going to figure it out, and it's their life.
They got 2 ears. They're going to hear what you're saying.
I can't promise you that they'll do exactly what you say or things will turn out exactly how you expect. But again, set the foundation and trust that God is in control. Mm-hmm. Spirit is in control. Universe is in control. Whatever your belief system is, know that there is a higher power and a universe that is supporting them on this life journey, just like they supported us when we were going through our stuff and our mess and trying to figure it out.
No, I had to follow the rules or I would get the 1-2. No. My mom was super cool. You know, my mother was super cool. She was honest. If I had a question, she would answer it. You know, because again, you got kids, they'll ask you a question. You answer that question, and then they on to the next thing. They don't want this whole lecture. Well, you know, when I was a kid, I had to walk 40 miles in the snow. They don't care nothing about that. You know, you go to California and it's not snowing. So it has to be relatable. And parents, be good listeners. I know sometimes you be shocked. Absolutely. You know, you be shocked at what your kids say or what you overhear. Because I'm going to tell you, mm-hmm. I'm going to self-disclose. I was an eavesdropper. Absolutely. You know, I gave my daughter privacy, but within reason. Because children really want boundaries. Whether you think they don't, they want some discipline.
I was a detective. I wasn't even a listener.
I will go through the backpack.
I was a detective.
You know, and I see some of these kids, and I see how they're going to school, and they're shooting up the school, and the parents have let them put a lock on their door. Until I wish you would tell me, and I'm paying the mortgage, I can't come in your room. I will.
Yeah,
turn
that's a whole other story.
And sometimes there's different cultures that believe in, you know, well, let's unschool, let's unrule, I'm not that one. I'm not judging you. If it works for you, fine. But that also leads into how they're going to be as an adult when they get into the workforce. Yeah. Are they able to blend in? Are they able to work? Do they understand diversity? Do they understand, you know, rules and discipline? Because it's very important. Let's jump to social media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
I sure did. I want to know your password. I'm going to look at who you're talking to. I had a situation with my daughter for a while. She was talking to somebody online. I shut that down at home. Spirit said, go pick her up from school. Go to pick her up from school. She in high school. She not in the class. I said, well, where's she at? She in the library. I tiptoe in the library looking over her shoulder. She's talking to this strange person. Girl, I came all up out the ground. They thought I was, arms was flailing, voice was all, and she's looking at me like, oh, Lord, you know, here she gonna go off on me in here. Absolutely, but I have to let you know that I was serious. I don't know who that person is, okay? Who this imposter syndrome is. And when you are reading something, you are more engaged. Your imagination is stimulated. You know, your excitement and what they're showing you and what they're telling you, and they're connecting. I mean, these people online, this is what they do all day. They're masters at this. You know, the sex traffickers, pedophiles, the, you know, the catfishers, all this kind of stuff. What do you, and you being in the tech space, give parents some suggestions on how to get a handle on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly enough, since we last talked, I have been working with the network that did the TV series Interventionist, and I am one of the digital interventionists in a new program coming up next year. And we have been working with families that have had challenges with technology and young people. And what I can tell parents is this. In most cases, they're already addicted. Because of the way that these social media platforms are designed, they're designed to grab your teen's attention and not let go. And so we have teens and adults now walking around with their phones in their faces on these social media platforms. These algorithms are designed to show you exactly what you want to see. It is designed to figure out how much time, they measure everything, how much time you spend watching any video or any topic or interacting online, they measure that. And the more you view it, the more they show you more content like that. And so what we're finding is that people are getting addicted. And some of the signs that you'll see as a parent is you won't see your child. They'll be in their room or somewhere with their face in a phone or gaming, whatever it may be. And you'll see them start to disconnect from real face-to-face relationships. You'll see their hygiene start to go down because they'll be sitting there all day long. They won't bathe. They won't eat. So you'll see health impacts. You'll see them get very agitated when you tell them to turn it off. When you ask them how many hours or how long they've been on, it'll tend to be a little skewed. They might say they were on for an hour when they were actually on for 4 hours. And you'll find that they have trouble managing themselves. And you'll see their grades drop and their focus go away from the things that they really enjoy doing, like sports or extracurricular activities or just spending time and hanging out with friends, interacting with real people. You'll see them, you'll see impacts in all those areas of their lives. And when you start seeing those things happening, you know that they're in the danger zone. And you might want to pull back and regulate, help them to self-regulate their technology usage. It's much more engaging to pick up a book and read it. It's much more engaging to go outside and have fun with friends. Go to different places. I mean, we used to go to the mall. We used to go skating. There were all kinds of things that we did. We used to go through the woods and just explore. Well, our kids today are not doing that. Very few. And depending on the neighborhood you live in, most kids are in their room on technology. I was literally walking through the mall the other day, and it was a 2-year-old. Probably not even two, probably just barely two, because they were just learning how to walk. Like, they were walking like they just figured out walking, And what did they have in their hand? They had one of these in their hand.
Because you know what?
In the mall.
Easy entertainment for the parent. The parent wants to do something. The kid is distracted or interactive. I see them in the grocery store all the time. They've got their phone right there. You know, it's just, we introduce these things to our children. Brains, they don't just spring up and say, hey, you know, get me some fast food or get me a computer, you know, or teach me how to be aggressive or teach me how to smoke weed and drink. They have to be introduced to these things. Mm-hmm. Be careful of the circle of influence that your kids is around. You know,
absolutely.
When you send them over to other folks' house, because believe me, you think I investigated my house, baby. I'm going to investigate your house too if my kid is over there.
My kids just didn't go.
You couldn't go?
I became the house.
Yeah, my house was the cool house too, but I wanted my daughter to have that experience of the sleepover. But see, I would be glad to drop in about 10:30 and say, oh, look, I brought y'all some pizza. You know, or I'm checking out the husband. I'm checking out the wife. Baby, I will Google you in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. Okay? I want to know who you are and what you're pouring in, even your conversation, your lifestyle. You know, you might be doing some old wicked stuff at your house, and there my child sits. And if my child wants to play with your child, oh, you can't tell. You can't keep secrets. You need to have a conversation. You need to teach them about sexuality. Whatever they ask, it's okay. It's about having sex. Sex is the most beautiful thing in the world. But I don't want the world to teach my child.
Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to have conversations
so that they know that wherever they are, you know, they get themselves in trouble, they get themselves pregnant, that they can come to me. And that this is not some, you know, some magical, mystical thing that we need to keep a secret from mommy and daddy. Or, you know, it's just so much out there, right?
A lot.
Body image, okay? Fat and fluffy is still fine. Don't get it confused. There's a lot of young girls out there that are, you know, with body dysmorphia, and they're starving themselves for low self-esteem based off what these images are that are airbrushed.
Right?
I've been in Hollywood, baby. I done seen some cellulite I could write a book about, okay? All that stuff is not real. It's not real. And you have to teach your children reality from fiction, but it's a matter of perception. And if they have nothing to compare it to, you know, that's where we are. So tell me a little bit about your work as an author and as a speaker.
Yeah, so as an author, I've written an entire curriculum. It's about 6 binders full of the trainings that I deliver. And it's a masterpiece at this point. And we've done these trainings across the United States. We've done them internationally. We just did a training for students in Nigeria. We've done some trainings for students in Malaysia and Singapore, and we've had students fly in from different countries to come and do our trainings in person when they were in person. We've pivoted to online now, and so it's just been amazing to see the training still survive COVID and make an impact with our young people. So that is where I've authored trainings and content for that. It's a 3-day training. Each one of them, there are 4 modules, but one module has 3 components to it. And so each of those are weekend training. So there's about 6 weekends that I've written of content that I've written for our young people. I am writing a book as well. And aside from being an author and creating content, I'm also a speaker, and I also coach speakers. I've worked with Les Brown. I've worked in the corporate space with amazing technical teams and executives from all over the world. And that's another passion of mine, because I think that communication is so key, and being able to share your ideas and your vision in a way that people get it is an important tool. And so next year I'll be launching a speaking program for our young people, because I think, you know, in school, teachers will appreciate this. You know, being able to have a student stand up and communicate clearly their thoughts in a way that everyone in the classroom benefits. And so I'll be working on that as I continue to work with Les Brown.
Well, I know Les is the best. He does this. I don't know if he still does this, but he does a part of his speech, and he teaches you about a belt. How many different ways that you can use a belt? Does he still do that?
I haven't heard him do that one yet. I'll ask him about it. I'll talk to him on Thursday. Belt.
Okay, it's more than whooping.
I want to hear about the belt, Les. Like, what's the belt thing?
Just all the different things you can do with the belt. But the metaphor that he created and part of his speech, it was just amazing. I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget you and the work that you do. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Tamara Barber.
Yes, it's very simple. You can reach me at tamarabarber.com. And from there, you can reach me on Facebook, Tamara Barber, LinkedIn, Tamara Barber. And you can find the other links to the programs that I have. Extreme Teen Leaders does have its own social media presence. So you can look up Extreme Teen, as in teenager, leaders.com. And we're also on Instagram, Extreme Teen Leaders.
We want you to go to the extreme, Brains. We want you to go all the way, you know, from A to Z. And it's so important just to listen to your kids. Again, like I said, you might have to go and get a shot of tequila afterwards. I get it. But you have to listen to them, because you brought them into the world. They are ultimately your responsibility, and they're looking to you for guidance, for support, for $20.
Yeah, it's not $20 anymore. Yeah. It's like $100, right?
I know. The payday cell phone bill. You got to control all that. And if it's out of control, then maybe you need to work with someone like Tamara in a parenting capacity. Maybe you need some coaching. There's nothing wrong with that. These kids didn't come with a template, and they didn't come with an instruction book, because Tamara's creating right now.
I got the instruction book.
Thank you so much, Brains. Please go in and like, love, and subscribe to every single thing we got. YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Blog Talk, yada, yada. I'm here for you. I care about you and your kids. Talk to you soon, Tamara. Thank you, baby.
Thank you.
Bye, Brains.